nations, come before his throne and worship Jesus Christ the Lord. Come into his presence and lift your voices high and worship Jesus Christ the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. All the earth. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Christ, we do all adore thee, and we do praise thee forever. Christ, we do all adore thee.
Jesus, we do adore you this morning. We love you. We know that we can't even find the words to express the way that we feel about you so many times. And Father, I pray that that's the hearts of many here this morning. That we love you more than we can express. And Jesus, we love you because you loved us so much that you gave yourself for us. You taught us what true worship is, and that is to give yourself for others. You've told us in your word that pleasing and acceptable worship is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. We know that you already did that, Christ. And we praise you this morning for your courage and your love. And just as you offered your body for us, and as we prepare to take this bread that represents that body, may each of us commit in our hearts this morning to give our bodies to you. May we offer everything that is physical about us, our bodies, our homes, our money, the things that we often think are our possessions. May we offer those to you this morning with the same loving attitude that you gave your body for us. May that be the prayer of each one of us as we continue to worship you this morning and as we take this bread. In your precious name we pray.
Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Stand and sing that with us, please.
Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way.
Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As thou hast sought, so let me see thy erring children lost and lone. Oh, strengthen me that while I stand firm on the rock and strong in thee, I may stretch out a loving hand to wrestlers with the troubled sea. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious things thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Christ, for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring.
with loving zeal. The poor and them that mourn, the faint and overborn, sin sick and sorrow worn, whom Christ doth heal. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with fervent prayer, the wayward and the lost, by restless passions tossed, redeemed at countless cost, from dark despair. Christ for the world we sing, the world to Christ we bring, with one accord, with us the work to share, with us reproach to dare, with us the cross to bear, for Christ our Lord.
Be seated, please. Again, welcome to our second assembly at Quail this morning. I want to encourage you that if you brought your Bibles, that you open, please, to the third chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 9 of Romans chapter 3. I think this time of year, and specifically this particular Sunday in the year at this place, causes us to ask the question, why Missions Sunday? Why would we have such a thing as Missions Sunday? Why would we encourage people to give, to sacrifice, to send the good news of Jesus to other places in our world? Why would we go to the trouble to train people, some for months and some for years, to go to another place where people speak a different language, live in a different culture, and have a totally different value standard than we do? Why would we do such a thing? Why would we take money from our own ministry area? Why would we take money that could be well used and invested in ministry in this place and send it to countries and nations that most of us will never visit, some of which we haven't even heard of, to a people we have never met and never will meet this side of eternity? Why would we do such a thing as Missions Sunday? And you say, well, that's easy, because God said to. Yes, He did. The question is, why did He tell us to? I hope to answer that question this morning from the book of Romans. It's a letter chock full of thoroughly fulfilling answers to that very question. And for time's sake, we're only going to be able to hit some of the highlights. But I want to answer the question, why Mission Sunday this morning? And we begin in Romans 3 with the first reason. Because God is disappointed with even the best of us. That's why. In Romans 3, beginning at verse 9, Paul begins to wrap up an entire section where he has been drawing a very bleak picture that all of us are sinners. In Romans 3, verse 9, he says, we've already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, I got to tell you, you're in one of those two categories. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile, but you're in one of those two categories. Paul says, we've already made the charge, Jew and Gentiles alike, all are under sin. And then Paul ransacks the Old Testament and pulls scripture after scripture to support the very point he's making.
He says, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They've together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. It sounds like our morning newspaper, doesn't it? Paul is saying, if you search throughout the world for one person who was innocent, one person who on his own merit could stand before a holy God, there wouldn't be one person among us who could be found innocent, not a one. He summarizes it all pretty tidily, I think, in verse 23 of chapter 3, when he says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Why have Missions Sunday? Because God is disappointed even with the best of us. And it's time the world understood why. Fred Craddock is a professor of New Testament at Emory University in Atlanta. He tells the story about his father when he was growing up, who was so belligerent toward the church. Fred Craddock's mother was a devout follower of Jesus, as Fred Craddock himself became a devoted follower of Jesus. But he said all the time, his growing up years, and he was around the house, anytime the subject of church was brought up, his dad had the same response. Those people don't care about me. Those people don't love me. They're only interested in another name on the roll and another dollar in the plate. That's all they're interested in. And every time he'd say that, Fred said his mother would go to another part of the house and weep and cry because it would hurt her so deeply. Craddock said, I heard him say that I don't know how many times in my life. But the day came when his dad contracted throat cancer. And after an extensive surgery where they took out his voice box, vocal cords, radiation therapy burned him badly. He couldn't eat anything. Put a tube in his neck so that he could breathe, but he could not eat. Dwindled down to 74 pounds in the hospital. And Fred Craddock said, I went to see my dad. He said, when I walked in that room, it was a room absolutely filled with flowers. He said, I started around the room taking the cards off the flowers and looking at them. One plant was from a children's class at church. Another plant was from the ladies' class at church. Another beautiful set of flowers from the men's group at church, and another from another support group at church, all the way around the room, filled with flowers that had been sent as expressions of love to that man in that hospital room. Craddock said as his dad noticed he was taking the cards off and reading them, he picked up an old Kleenex box that was laying on the table next to his bed, and he wrote on the back of that Kleenex box a line from Shakespeare's Hamlet. The line simply said this: in this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story. And Craddock said it as he read that on the back of that Kleenex box, he turned to his dad and he said, Dad, what is your story? Craddock said, now his dad's eyes beginning to fill with tears as he thought about what he had done all of his life, asked for the Kleenex box back, and he wrote another line on the back of the Kleenex box, and he said simply, I was wrong. I was wrong. Folks, there comes a time in the life of every human being where we could stand before a holy God and say, I was wrong. I was wrong. God calls it sin. And I've got to tell you this morning that whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're educated or uneducated, whether you're black or white or red or yellow, whether you are high in the socioeconomic status of it all, or whether you're low, whether you're employed or unemployed, I've got to tell you this morning, all of us are infected with the same disease. Every one of us is guilty of sin. I have something terribly, terribly wrong with me. It was my problem yesterday, it's my problem today, and it's going to be my problem tomorrow. It is the simple fact I am a sinner before a righteous God. We have Mission Sunday so that we can go and tell the world the reason they feel that sick feeling down inside is because they've disappointed a righteous God. And the reason why there's no genuine joy in their lives and this overwhelming sense of despair and hopelessness that this thing is going nowhere is because they don't understand. They've disappointed a righteous God. Why have Mission Sunday? So that the world might understand that even the best of us have disappointed God. If that were the end of the story, how bleak it would be. But Paul hurries in chapter 5 to tell us God is not only disappointed in even the best of us, but that God is passionately in love with even the worst of us. He says in chapter 5, you see, at just the right time, verse 6, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Listen, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Would you hear it? God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say Christ died for the holy, Christ died for the godly, Christ died for the pure, Christ died for the righteous. It says Christ died for the ungodly and the sinners. What greater proof of love could you have than that the God of the universe would let His own Son die for the likes of you and me? George Strait sang the lyrics. They go like this. I got home from school one day with a shiner on my eye. Fighting was against the rules and it didn't matter why. When Dad got home, I told him the story I'd rehearsed and stood there on trembling knees, waiting for the worst. He said, "Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret," my dad said, "was just between us. Dads don't love their children just every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen." When I became a father in the spring of 81, there's no doubt that stubborn son of mine was like my father's son. When I thought my patience had been tested to the end, I took my dad's secret and passed it on to him. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. A secret, my dad said, was just between us. Dads don't love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside those pearly gates when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. If they'd have known half the things I'd done, they'd never let me in. And then somewhere from the other side I heard these words again. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Dads don't love their children just every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. It's a love without end. Amen. And the church said, amen. Are we middle, upper middle class Americans the only ones who have the right to know the story of a father's love? Now, the reason we have Mission Sunday is that we might go to the world and say to them that God is passionately in love even with the worst of us. The good news this morning is God desperately loves us. And He demonstrated how deeply and desperately He loves us by the sacrifice of His own Son who died on a cross to let us go free. And that's not even all of the good news. Romans tells us that God is not only disappointed with even the best of us, and that God is passionately in love even with the worst of us. But Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 that God offers salvation to all of us. All of us. Beginning in Romans 10, verse 9. It says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved, as the Scripture says. Now listen, everyone, everyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on His name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Did you notice? Everyone, all, everyone. Paul is trying to make us understand that the God of the universe is a God who loves all of us and who offers in the invitation that all of us might experience His salvation. Why do we have Mission Sunday? That the whole world might know that God offers salvation to all of us. I was growing up in Corpus Christi, my teen years. I have incredible memories of three things when I would come home from a date or come home from being out with my buddies. No matter what time of the night I came home, the porch light was on, the door was open, and my mother was waiting up for me. My dad was a golf course superintendent. They went to work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and so by the time I got home, whatever time it was, he was probably asleep. But I distinctly remember how many hundreds of times I pulled into the driveway, got out of that car, and there was the light on, and the door was open, and my mom was waiting up for me. And as I have thought about that imagery through the years, I think how great that is a teaching on heaven. That the light is on, the door is open, and the Father is waiting up for us, and we can come home. Is that just something that we are to keep to ourselves? Or is this a day of good news that the world should know that story? I want to tell you that a Somali's greatest problem this morning is not starvation or a warlord's guns. It's the problem of sin. And a Bosnian's greatest nightmare today is not sniper fire that could take him out on his way to get water for today. His greatest nightmare is standing before a righteous God, ill-equipped to face Him. And the story is true of a Canadian, or one from Japan, or China, or one from Malaysia, or Europe, or Eastern Europe, or Canada, or these United States. And the good news is, God is passionately in love, even with the worst of us, and offers salvation to all of us. Why have Mission Sunday? Because God wants all of us to know. The light is on, and the door is open, and He's waiting up for us. Carl Sandburg, in his book, The Prairie Years, tells about the early years of Abraham Lincoln, his family, and all those people that migrated across the Midwest, and how hard those years were. He said 1/4 of all of the children died during those years of either milk fever or malaria or some other disease. Abraham Lincoln's own mother died during childbirth, giving birth to one of the children. Abraham Lincoln's own sister died during childbirth. And Sandburg describes times that were hard and men whose hands were as tough as the bark on oak trees. But he said on Sunday, they'd push up an arbor somewhere and up would ride this pioneer circuit-riding preacher who'd get off his horse. He could hear him sing. Maybe you can hear them sing this way. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. And the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Is that hope that fills us? That assurance that we know is going to be ours, that one day we will meet on that beautiful shore, is that just for us? God forbid that we should think like that. And so we're going to encourage to give. We're going to encourage to sacrifice. We're going to say it isn't too great a sacrifice to give up a few nights out to eat, or a few movies, or a few ties, or a new dress in the coming year. That it isn't too much of a sacrifice to take that which we believe to be God's anyway, and to assure that the people of this world have the right to hear what you and I already know. Can I read just a few more verses from Romans 10 where we are? How then can they call on the one they haven't believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. We'll have Mission Sunday. And we'll keep having missions Sundays until there's no more need for mission Sundays. Until all the world has had the chance to hear the same story you have heard. That even the best of us have disappointed a righteous God. But that God is passionately in love even with the worst of us. And He offers salvation to all of us. Father, we want the world to know what we've come to know through You. That all of us understand we have disappointed Your righteousness, Your holiness and purity, and stand condemned before You. But that You passionately love every one of us, and that You offer salvation to all of us. We pray this morning You'll give us a burden for lost people around the world. That You'll help us to be generous and open and sacrificial, because we want them to know the joy and the hope that fills us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, before the offering is taken, our worship team has prepared a special series of slides. Oftentimes when you give money, you think you're just giving it into this nebulous thing that goes nowhere and you never see the results of it. The slides you're going to see are the slides of some of our people who went on a campaign last summer, and some of the people they're ministering to are the very people that your dollars help change forever. The last four or five slides you're going to see are the pictures of a little boy who now lives here, whose name is Will Stokes. The generosity of this family sent two of our couples a few years ago to Honduras, the Brazels, the Schumanns. And down there they met this little orphan boy named Will and fell in love with him. And through a series of providential events, Terry and Joni Stokes adopted Will and has brought him back to this country, and his life is forever changed because of the generosity of his family. The song you're going to hear as you see the slides was written years ago by Ray Bolts. It's called Thank You. You're supposed to understand the perspective that you're walking down the golden streets of heaven when a man comes up to say thank you for something you didn't even know you'd done? Would you see the lives that are changed because of your generosity?
Changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. A man once stood before you. Do you remember the time? A missionary came to your church, and his pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
Was a victim of the Holocaust. His family was, at least. He was a survivor. As a boy, his family and himself were taken captive and taken to a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. He travels the world reminding people what can happen. In his book called The Night, he tells about being in that concentration camp and seeing two men and a 15-year-old boy hanged because they were accused of insurrection by the Nazis. And he said as they looked on that scene, the little boy was frail and skinny and light. But he had the face of a sad angel. And he said, normally when one is hanged, death comes instantly. The neck is broken and it comes instantly. But the little boy, 15 years old when he was hanged, didn't die instantly. But he dangled at the end of that rope for several minutes before he died. And as that whole camp watched that scene in horror as that 15-year-old struggled for life and ultimately died, he said one of the people in that crowd cried out, "Where is God? Where is He?" I can tell you where he was. The same place he was as his son hung on a tree and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You say, how could God let that happen? Because God loves you so much that the thought of being without you for an eternity was unthinkable. And so he let his own son die to pay the price for you. This morning, if you've come to understand you've disappointed a righteous God, but that God loves you, even the worst of us, he loves you. And he offers salvation to all of us. This morning, if you would receive that by faith, would you come to him as he invites and as we stand together and sing? Would you come?
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us hasten.